Our Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, as the psalmist says in Psalm 103, you, O Lord, are our Father who has compassion on his children, so that you, O Lord, have compassion on those who fear you. For you know how we are formed, you remember that we are but dust. Undeserving as we are, yet you've showered upon us your grace overflowing. As we enjoy your care and providence, we invite you to teach us, Lord. We need you to teach us how to respond through your word so that we'll bring you glory and pleasure. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever you want. Has anyone ever offered you, ask for whatever you want me to give you? Whatever you want me to give you. Whatever you want. Now, the closest I've ever got to whatever I want is at a buffet. That's right. Yes, but of course, you know, that is not really whatever you want because that is limited to what food you can eat. And in fact, it is limited to the food that is, you know, spread on the table. If lobster is not there, even if I want a lobster, it's not there, I can't get it. But in today's scripture, the offer transcends way beyond a buffet without limit, category, nor any boundary. Wow. Isn't Solomon in for a real treat, right? If ever the dream of getting whatever you want will come true, this is it. Because this offer is made by God, who has everything in the universe at his disposal. Now, when I put it like that, perhaps you may even begin to feel sorry for Solomon. Poor Solomon, what a simpleton. For all the things Solomon's little heart could have desired, and all he asked for is something so subjective? Wisdom? Boy, does Solomon really ever need some wisdom, you would say. What about you? What would you have asked for if God offered you, ask for whatever you want me to give you? What would you have asked for? That's what I want you to think about this morning. Now today, we are at sermon number 8 in our Chronicles series. And incidentally, all these sermons, if you miss any, are uploaded to our church's website. Go to the download tab and you get all of them there. So please open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Yes, I'm skipping over the last 8 chapters of 1 Chronicles. Now, these 8 chapters constitute a transition from David's era to Solomon's. So much is said about David's preparation in these 8 chapters, preparation of the materials and personnel for Solomon to build the temple. Then afterwards, of course, after the temple is built, they conduct worship services there. Now, I'll encourage you to read them on your own and marvel over all the names, and more names of the temple servants, the gatekeepers, treasurers, military commanders, etc., etc. Now, of course, I'm sure you'll be fascinated by the amount of gold collected. Look at that. 3,000 talents, equivalent to 100 metric tons today. And at the price of $3,000 an ounce, that is $10 billion. Collected for the temple building. Now, of course, that is not including the tons of silver, the bronze, the iron, the wood, and precious stones like onyx and turquoise. However, 1 Chronicle ends with David's passing, and 2 Chronicle begins with Solomon's ascension to the throne. And when we come to chapter 1, it sets the stage for Solomon's reign. Its theme is God's affirmation. This chapter 1's theme is affirmation of Solomon's reign, beginning with God made Solomon king. And then The next section, verses 2 to 6, Solomon shows his heart as a godly king. How does he show that? Well, his first act as king is to lead his people to worship God at God's designated place, Gideon. There, 1,000 burnt offerings were offered, which leads to the last section, verses 7 to 12. Seems like Solomon hits the jackpot. God must be so pleased with Solomon, as seen by his offer of whatever you want me to give you. Now, easy suggestions. Maybe deep inside all of us, we secretly yearn for such a windfall from God. Okay, you may be, maybe you're not so shallow as me, but it did occur to me how wonderful it would be if I were made this offer from God. Why, God, why didn't you ever offer me whatever I want? And talk about hitting the nail on the head. Not only is Chronicles addressing the issues of the human heart just for the Old Testament audience, he's speaking to my heart today as well, and hopefully your heart too. The Chronicles warn us against making our Christian faith something of a bribe to manipulate God to give us whatever we want. So let this account help us examine our deepest motives of our faith to God, or faith in God. Let me offer you three things to think about. So if you look at verse 10, first phrase, verse 10, first phrase, what does it say? Give me wisdom and knowledge. Now, as a son of King David, I figure that Solomon probably led a pretty good life, a rather privileged one, I might add. Now, we don't have much detail about Solomon's upbringing, but from the parallel accounts of the book of 1 Kings, Solomon is already groomed in his childhood to succeed his father. However, Solomon doesn't consider himself to have arrived. He's quick to admit his vulnerability, his fallibility, as well as inadequacy. For he knows he's king only because only of grace. And that is grace from God. Solomon understands his responsibility as king and admits he's not up to the task he's been so graciously given. He knows he would make mistakes and he really needs help. So associations today, none of us, okay, well, I should not say none of us. As far as I know, none of us has been tasked to rule a country. Is there any secret kings here? Let me know if there were. But in our individual ages and stages of life, whatever our circumstances, like Solomon, we need help as well. As your pastor, I need help the most. I need wisdom and knowledge like I never imagined. Someone said this, which I find to be most applicable to myself. Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. Now, I'm not ashamed to admit that I've talked too much when I should have listened, because perhaps I would have been a much better preacher, better prepared to preach God's word at this time in my life. So, if Solomon needs help, then none of us should be ashamed to admit we all need help too. So you and I, we all need help. That's our starting point. We all need help. Now, since we need help, then we're faced with the question, where should we get help from, right? Now more than ever, we have the most sources of help at our disposal. Facebook offers us a million and one helps, whether it is anything from cooking the most awesomest dish to getting free branded sunglasses or whatever. The internet is an explosion of DIY solutions to whatever problems you have in life. And even traditional gurus of religions, different religions, they have their websites as well, offering wisdom and solutions to anyone and to everyone. But for me, none of these helps really satisfy, because they can't pass the most rigorous scrutiny, except what is revealed in the Bible. And today I'll just quickly talk about this scrutiny of all these different self-helps, of all these social media, all these websites, all these kinds of helps. They are not satisfactory for me. They cannot satisfy because they are human-based, not God-based. When you're talking about human-based and God-based, you are talking about imperfection versus a perfection. You are talking about not so good versus good. And secondly, the Bible reveals a solution that is dependent on God's grace, not human performance, because we all know sometimes we fall short. And finally, the Bible reveals to us a solution that transcends time. It endures eternity, not just something temporal. Yes, friends, we all need help. But where do we get this help? We need help from God. There's no other place, no other person from whom we can get help that truly satisfies. I think Solomon's response in verses 8 to 9 capture for us a great deal of meaning. Let me read it for you. Verse 8, Solomon answered God, "You have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place." Verse 9. "Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth." Talk about a wise and knowledgeable king. Solomon credits God with his origin and his destiny. Solomon is also testifying that God is the ultimate authority and sovereignty in control of everything. In admitting to his own inadequacy in life, he's subjecting himself to God's merciful providence. Apart from God, yes, you can subject yourself to other providences. But how do they compare to what the God of the Bible can provide? And even better is that God wants to help us. God wants to help us. Even for Solomon, who's already wise to start with, God helps him grow wiser beyond his imagination. This account in 1 Kings chapter 3 gives us an example. Two mothers in the same house have given births. One mother accidentally rolled over the baby and killed her baby. And she swaps her dead baby with the living one. And of course, this leads to a dispute when the mother of the living baby woke up. So the dispute is, who's the real mother of the living baby? And when the case is brought before Solomon, Solomon orders that the living baby to be cut in half so that each mother gets half of the baby. Pretty dumb, actually. But unbeknownst to all, Solomon expects that the real mother will give up her claim just to save the baby. She was willing to sacrifice her motherhood and yield her baby so that it will live. And that's exactly what happens. Wisdom prevails in a seemingly foolish judgment. Brothers and sisters in Christ, none of us, I hope, will ever face that situation. But all of us, we need help from God in a myriad of situations. So point two is we all need help from God. If you ever have the fear of missing out, your biggest missing out is if you don't get help from God. We all need help from God. And moving to the third point, please look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "Give me wisdom and knowledge. What for? That I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" I think the emphasis is in the middle phrase, "that I may lead this people." That I may lead this people. You know, maybe the hardest thing about getting help from God is that we must change our life's purpose. Before, we lived for ourselves and we wanted to get God's help so that we can live for ourselves. But by putting faith in God, we are no longer living for ourselves, but for God. In a way, it is a blessing upon blessing, because if you live for God, you are living for the goodness of yourselves. And that's the weight of this phrase. When Solomon asked God to give him wisdom so that he can do anything he wants? No. So that he can, you know, fulfill every wish his little heart desires? No. Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge so that he can lead his people. So that Solomon can live the life that God wants him to live. To live. Not to live, but to live. So the third point is, we all need help from God so that we can live for God. We can live for Him. This change of purpose in life is most clearly demonstrated by God, by what God has to say in verses 11 to 12. In today's scripture. Not very often God is impressed, but he is surely quite impressed here. Why? Because Solomon asks for God's help, not for himself, not for wealth, not for riches, nor honor, for death of enemies, nor long life. Solomon's motive, his intention, admitting his need for help from God, is to fulfill what God wants him to do, is to fulfill God's purpose for Solomon. What's Solomon's purpose that God has given him? To be king for his people, to lead them, that is, to lead them to God. Ecclesiastians, friends, we're challenged to our very core today. What's your motivation for living? Now, notice that Solomon didn't quit his job to become full-time pastor or missionary. Neither did he sell everything to give to the poor. He recognizes God's purpose for him is to be king. And he jolly well be king, but not for his own sake, rather for God's sake, to fulfill God's purpose for him. When I was young, once upon a time, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I didn't know what I wanted to be. I just wanted to be rich and famous. Well, that covers it all. Well, friends, let me just let you know what the score is. It is 0 for 2. Neither am I rich, neither am I famous. 0 out of 2 for me. However, to the younger ECCSians here, of course, you must not stop dreaming. Whatever your dream is, don't give up. But in the process, get up and do something about it. And as we all live our lives, as we have ambitions for things, and as we feel and sense what God wants us to do, there's no shame to need help. As for the source of help, I want to testify that God wants to help you. Believe it or not, God actually wants to help you. However, more often than not, life is better when we take God's help, not for our own sake, but for God's sake. Of course, how do you know what your purpose in life will be? I think that's the million-dollar question. And there's no easy answer to that, because it takes faith. Faith to trust that even where you are, whether it's your dream job or your worst nightmare, even if you have nothing at all, that God still wants to help you to make something out of your nothing. So my third point, in a way, this is like a one-sentence sermon. We all need help from God so that we can live for Him. Now, of course, you can live just for yourself, or you can live for something else or someone else. But where would you end up? It's, of course, a big question. Now, I realize even living for God is also a question as well. But this is a question that the Bible tells us we do not have to answer just on our own, by ourselves, but that God is with us. And in fact, these questions of life draw us to God, help us to be more dependent on Him, so that we do not take matters into our own hands and to our own devices, which usually end up with our demise. As I conclude, I want you to think about God's offer. Whatever you want me to give you. In one sense, it makes us wonder if God has lost the plot. Whatever you want, I mean, you know, it's dangerous and risky, isn't it? What if Solomon asked to be God? Right? Then what happens? So in some ways, you know, we tend to water down God's offer. We think, oh, God really doesn't mean it. We suppose it to be just some marketing ploy, like that used in some supermarket jingle. Whatever you want, whatever you need, you know, we can provide for you, assuming our limit for whatever we want, whatever we need. But God doesn't lie. So His offer is real. But you know what? I think the true and final vindication of that offer of God really came about 1,000 years later. That vindication came in the person of a king like no other kings. For Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As God the Son, Jesus really could have had whatever He wanted. But instead of taking whatever He wanted, He turned it around and gave all that He had. He offered to do whatever God His Father wanted Him to do. Talk about living for God's purpose. And He was willing to go all the way to the cross to pay for our sin. Friends, wisdom is not so much about knowing how to score things in this world. You know, whether to buy the best property, whether to get the highest score, whether to hunt the best spouse. All these things will one day pass away. Wisdom is not about scoring all these things. Yes, of course, these things are important. But no, they're not worth living for. Wisdom is about doing what God wants. It starts by receiving forgiveness in entering into a relationship with God. And it continues with fulfilling whatever God has purposed you to do right where you are. Now, of course, the difference between us and Solomon at that time was Solomon got this direct speech from God. And for us today, we exercise faith because it may not hit your eardrums, whatever God has to say. It may not be something that you can grasp hold of, but it is something definitely that is present. As we apply all our five senses to sense this God in our lives, we all need help from God so that we can live for Him. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, just to be alive today is such a wonderful blessing. Some of us attribute this life to something else, to someone else other than you, O Lord. We thank you for your word revealing yourself to us, that you are our origin, that you are our source of our origin, and that you are interested in us, that you love us so that we can go all the way to the end, to the eternity that you have prepared for us. And Father, in the meantime, thank you for this gift of faith. Help us exercise it every day, even as we are confronted with many questions, fears, and doubts in our lives, knowing that what you have revealed to us, this wonderful God, in how you work in this world, even through the book of Chronicles, not just for 2,000 or 5,000 years ago, but even now, until Jesus Christ comes again. And help us to stay in this course that you have so graciously and mercifully called us to. We ask all these in Jesus' name. Amen.